So let's look at the scripture now, Isaiah the 66th chapter, starting in verse 10. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice greatly with her. All you who mourn over her, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. We've had a number of great things happen here in the past weeks. As we look at what's going on in our country, as we look at what's going on around the world, one of the great things that people need is comfort. Would you not agree? One of the great things that people need is comfort. They need to know God's love. They need to know God's peace. They need to know that God wants to bring great comfort to them. I can remember one of my seminary professors saying, the world doesn't need a new program. The world doesn't need new laws. The world doesn't need a whole lot of things that sometimes we put all of our effort and time into. What the world needs is the love of Jesus Christ in the midst of this world. And as we touch people with that love and peace and comfort, overwhelming things will happen. Overwhelming things will happen. I want you to understand that in the Hebrew thought and the Hebrew idea, Jerusalem was the center of everything for them. That's where the tabernacle was. That's where God's presence was visibly seen in the tabernacle, over the tabernacle. God's presence was there at either the tabernacle or the temple. And as you came towards town and walked towards town, you would be walking uphill. And there is that great temple in Jesus' time that Herod did so well in making even more beautiful, with gold on the outside of it and white stone, and it just reflected so that Jerusalem was that great place that everybody looked forward to. It was a place of comfort because God's presence was there. It was a place where God was known to be. Now, in our day and age, I think we need to replace Jerusalem with the church. Because the church is the place that we come to. The church is the place that we come to know God's presence in a deeper way. Not that God is not with us as we travel in and about the world and at work and at different places, but the church has become a place where we are very comfortable setting aside other things to center upon God's presence. To center upon what God has for us so that we can see it well and understand it well. And you see, it says, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all of you who love her. And I just, as I meditated on this scripture this week and thought about this scripture, I thought about rejoice with the church and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. Do we not wish that more people would come to church? Amen? Wouldn't it be great to see this place full from down here and up in the balcony? Wouldn't that be a fantastic and a wonderful thing? So we come to this place to get to know God, but we also come to this place to center our thoughts upon God, to rejoice with the church together, and to be together in a way that we can find that overflowing overflowing abundance. The church, I believe, is the primary place for God to bring an overflowing abundance. Yes, I've met many people. Oh, I can see God when I'm out on the lake fishing Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I can see God when I'm up on top of the mountain looking out over the beautiful and fabulous valley. Amen. I agree with you. But there's something different about coming into the midst of the church with sisters and brothers and finding that overflowing abundance while we're with one another. Isn't there something different about that? Isn't there something that touches us, I think, much deeper? And oftentimes I will tell people this. I totally agree with you that you can find God in all of those. I've even been told, I don't know this for a fact. Maybe somebody here can tell me if it's true. I've been told that you can find God on the golf course also. Okay? I do not know that. That the golf bug has never bit me. I've always wanted to learn how to play. But I also understand that sometimes things happen on the golf course that may not be God-honoring when the ball doesn't go where it's supposed to. We can find God in all of those places. But here's what I tell people. Why do you want to miss the blessing that comes from being together with sisters and brothers and worshiping together? Why do you want to miss that blessing? It's an incredible thing to me to hear how God's working in other people's lives, to hear how God speaks in the Scriptures. It's incredible to me. I love to listen to how God's working in people's lives. The church is the primary place for God to bring an overflowing abundance. Do you know how much that is? Anybody here got an idea of how much an overflowing abundance is? Raise your hand if you got an idea of how much that is. Because I don't. An overflowing abundance, again and again and again and again, not in a way that's negative, in the way that's harmful, an overflowing abundance that continues to grow and overwhelms us. What a great thing. The next thing that God speaks about in this scripture, though, is God speaks about an image that is an incredibly powerful image for all of us. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in an overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says. I will extend peace to her like a river and wealth of streams like flooding stream, or wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. God speaks of the powerful image of a mother comforting a child. Have you ever watched that happen, especially on a playground? A kid falls off a swing, and what happens? Comes to the mother, and the mother has some kind of sense of how to bring great comfort to that child. Just come here. Just let me hold you for a minute. You know, my mother and my grandmother's, it was always, let me kiss the boo-boo and it'll make it better, right? It doesn't make it better. But yes, it does, doesn't it? In some way, it makes it better because it brings that great comfort, that great peace. I want to show you an illustration that I found this week. I know you can't read the words of the scripture. That's okay. That's not what the emphasis that I want you to see here, okay? Someone took their Bible from this very page of scripture. If it was large enough, you could see that this is the scripture that I'm preaching on today. and drew in the margin of their Bible this incredibly wonderful picture. This incredibly wonderful picture of a mother comforting a child. What a special thing that is, isn't it? What an incredibly special thing just to see that image. When I found this and found that somebody had done this in their Bible, I was like, wow. Because you've heard me say, sometimes I think our scriptures are too flat on the page. They're just too flat on the page. And we miss the point of what's there. Okay? To me, the scriptures, when I open them up, it should be one of those pop-up books like kids get. That's what it should be. And the words should jump up off the page. And the words should grab a hold of us in a way that we go, yes. And to find this week as I searched, I said, wow, I wish every Bible had a picture so that when you turn the page like that, you could see that and grab a hold of that image. But God takes this image one step further in verse 13. God says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. So will I comfort you. God says, look at this. And God says, this is what I will do for you. So I want you to see this second illustration. This is what God wants to do for you. This is what God wants to do for every person. No matter who they are, no matter where they grew up, no matter what race they're of or nation they're from, this is what God wants to do for each one of us. God says, just as a mother does that, I want to do that also. Just as a mother does that, I want to do that also. For you see, God is so much more than what we say sometimes when we say God our Father. God takes on both qualities. Mothers and fathers both learn from who God is and what God wants to do in the midst of this world. And both of us reflect that in the midst of this world, mothers and fathers. I hope you remember the verse that Jesus speaks. You see, his disciples, this is an interesting thing to me, his disciples were trying to decide who was the greatest among them. You remember that discussion, don't you? They were all talking about, and guess what I can see? I can see some of them saying one thing, but I can see Peter standing here somewhere and say, but yeah, but I'm greater because I walked on water. And they're all discussing that, and they're arguing about who's better than who. Not that church folks ever do that, right? Church folks never discuss about who's better than who. We always talk about who's lower than us, don't we? Not that we should be about that either. But the disciples are discussing that, and Jesus overhears them, and Jesus says, let me teach you something. And he calls a little child to come to him. And he says, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's found in Matthew chapter 18. unless you become like this little child, it's not about discussing who's better than who. It's not about finding ways that I'm better than someone else. It's about coming as that little child and completely trusting and completely being open to the comfort of God. As a little child, I found out later in my life, I kind of knew, but I didn't, because it was the first 3 years of my life. We lived with my mom's parents. And my grandfather was the greatest of practical jokers. The greatest. I mean, I'll just make it simple. He got me in a lot of trouble. But why did that happen? That happened because I fully trusted him. I was fully open to where he was leading and guiding me. I was fully trusting in what my pop was trying to tell me. Fully and completely, all the time. Until I got a little bit older and learned that, wait a minute, there might be something in the midst of this. Just to give you one example. He one time killed a snake in the yard. And he said, "Here, take this inside to your grandma. She loves snakes." And I trusted him. He's my grandpa. He wouldn't lead me astray. Guess who was in the front yard just laughing his head off when I came out the door with this small lady behind me with a broom? Folks, that's the kind of trust that we need to have. And we can know and be assured that God's not going to lead us astray. We can know that beyond a doubt. God will not lead us astray. God is about bringing peace, wholeness, completeness. God says, "I will bring the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. I will nurse you and I will carry you on my arm." And God says, "I will dandle you on my knee." I had to look that word up. That wasn't a word I knew. And when I looked it up, I found out I knew what it was. But I didn't know that word. It means to take a young kid and put him on your knee and bounce him. You ever see anybody do that? God says, "I'm going to do the same for you. I'm going to do the same for you. I will be like the mother," God says, "and you will be the child." Sometimes that means I need to set aside those things that I'm most worried about because they preoccupy me, so that I can just sit there with God. That I can just be in God's presence. That I can be in God's warm arms of love. How would this world change if people could get a hold of that image? Jonathan, can you go back to that second image for us? If people could get a hold of this image, how would this world change? I want you to think about that. How would this world change? This week I've kept both of these images sitting on my desk, so that I could look at them time and time and time again. Because there's something more in the midst of these images than I catch all the time. And I may leave them sitting out for a little bit. Because is this not what the world needs? Is this not what we can bring to the world? Now I want to show you what happens when we can get a hold of this image And we can allow ourselves to be wrapped in God's warm arms of love and just sit in God's presence and allow God to bounce us on God's knee. That's an image for you, isn't it? God says, I want to do that for you. That's an exciting image. Verse 14 tells me what's going to happen if I allow this to happen. God says, when you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass, and the hand of the Lord will be made known to God's servants, but God's fury will be shown to God's foes. There's a little bit of a negative image there about those who are not coming closer to God. And I wanted to expand upon this and try to understand this some more. So one of the things that I quite often use is a book called The Message by Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson was both an Old Testament and a New Testament scholar. He lived in Maryland, I believe. He was a pastor of a church. And what he did was he would take the original languages, the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic, and he would translate them in a way that was a paraphrase. He did not try to translate them word for word, but what he tried to do was take the idea that was there and put it in English words in a way that we would say it nowadays. And use idioms and phrases and ideas that we could fully see better sometimes than what we see in the scriptures. So I want you to see verse 14 in The Message. It's not a translation. It's a paraphrase. His church came to him and said, look, this is what we need you to do for us. So Jonathan, you could put verse 14 up there for us. You'll see all this and burst with joy. You'll feel 10 feet tall as it becomes apparent that God is on your side and against his enemies. You will burst with joy when you allow God to bring you that comfort that you so much need. You will feel 10 feet tall. Isn't that a little bit more descriptive than what we have in the NIV? And see, as Eugene Peterson did this for the church that he pastored, he told them, or they came to him and said, look, you need to do the whole Bible for us this way. And I recommend to you, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase of ideas. I want you to understand that. So there's a little bit of difference between that and a translation. And it's only done by one person instead of a committee of people. But because of some of the words that he uses sometimes and some of the phrases that he uses, this brings Scripture to greater light for me. And I enjoy going and reading what he has and looking at it. It's sometimes a little bit more shocking because, oh, wait. When you allow me to be your mother, when you allow me to bring you peace and comfort and love as a mother brings to a little child, you'll burst with joy and you'll feel 10 feet tall. How many of you in here want to be 10 feet tall? I'd love to. I can't play basketball now, but I bet if I was 10 foot tall, I could. You have to give me a point if I can get the ball to hit the rim. I get 1 point for that, is the way I play basketball. If it goes in, I get 2 points, okay? But if it just hits the rim, I get one. I can hit the rim every time I throw it. But God says, if you will let me be your mother and bring great comfort to you, if you will let me bring that comfort to you, you will burst with joy and you will feel 10 feet tall. So here's what I wanted to ask you to think about from this sermon. Here's what I want to ask you to think about. Will you allow God to hold you and bring you comfort? Will you allow God to hold you and bring you comfort so that you can burst with joy and so that you can feel 10 feet tall as you walk in the midst of this community that God has placed this church in? Imagine a bunch of people leaving church today and walking out in this community, bursting with joy and feeling 10 feet tall. Everybody's going to wonder where you just came from. Where did you come from and what happened? And you can tell them, I let God love on me. I let God love on me, and now I can't contain it. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, sometimes you do just want to reach out and love on us. But we allow ourselves to be so busy. We allow ourselves to run from place to place to place. And sometimes all you want to do is hold us and bounce us on your knee for a few moments. Lord, help us to allow that to happen so that that is as it does, that joy will be an overflowing abundance in our hearts and it will flow out of us everywhere we go. And Lord, we'll walk around and say, this can't stop me because I feel 10 feet tall, because God is on my side, and it is very apparent that that's where God is, in holding me and loving me and bringing me comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.